Coming your way live from a top secret location in Redondo Beach, you're listening to Aspel on the Esplanade on CHSR, HealthyLife.net Radio.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to HealthyLife.net. This is Steve Aspel, Aspel on the Esplanade. And I'm competing with Feed the Kitty right now, the intro. Did you get all that right back there?
Yeah.
Was it working? Cool.
Still had your mic turned down as one of our hosts who has an incredibly high voice, and I have to cut out all the high end on her microphone.
See, well, I'm not starting over, so we're good.
No. I'm like, well, Steve is unusually deep and rumbly today. Oh, yeah, I have it on the Friday host.
Yeah. Oh, we got it today. Anyway. Yeah. Yeah, we are. We're not in the Esplanade. We're our top secret location in Redondo Beach, California. I'm sitting here with South Bay J. Cruz.
Good afternoon. Happy to have you back.
Yeah, I missed last Tuesday because I was downtown L.A.
Downtown.
I got subpoenaed to testify in a court case.
Never fun.
A lawsuit. And
I don't like being around too many members of the law.
Well, I didn't see any law. There was, well, just, you know, the rent-a-cops that run the front door.
Yeah.
I don't know if the rent-a-cops are real cops, but, you know, they, it's like going through TSA.
Yeah.
Now, I don't blame them, but anyway, I get there, and I was just wearing blue jeans and a pullover shirt. Didn't dress up for it.
Yeah.
And I left my house. It took me I left 2 hours before the concert, before the court case.
Uh-huh.
And I still had to go screaming in there.
Yeah.
So L.A. traffic's always been busy since I was a kid. It's always, no matter how many freeways they build, it gets worse.
Right.
But it's exceptionally hard going downtown.
It is.
And from the South Bay, where I live in Redondo, it's the good news is it's far from the freeway.
Right.
And the bad news is it's far from the freeway.
Bad news, it's a half hour to get to the freeway.
It's the least, especially in the morning like that.
Yeah.
But I go down there, and I couldn't go watch the trial, but it was for it's actually for an agent at Farmers Insurance suing Farmers Insurance for wrongful termination.
Okay.
And I'm not going to go into the whole thing, but I was an expert witness, so-called, for the agent.
Uh-huh.
He never worked for me or anything, so, but he asked me if I would come and talk. If I didn't, he would subpoena me.
Oh.
I said, do me a favor so I can just tell Farmers, my friends at Farmers, I'm not just running down there to testify against them.
Yeah.
Subpoena me.
Yeah.
But I think that he's going to beat Farmers.
Okay.
Yeah. There's all these little rules. They apply to certain agents and not to others. And,
okay.
And it's a very, very arbitrary system.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, I did have the jury. I actually had fun because the jury started laughing.
Yeah. They're doing a good job then.
They were probably laughing at me. But, well, they go, how can you be an expert witness? How did you start at Farmers Insurance?
Yeah.
And I said, well, I got fired from Safeway, which is kind of true. And I said, I was young. I was 23 years old. And I was talking to my dad. He goes, I know a guy from the Westchester Plate RA Knights of Columbus Hall.
Okay.
And his name's Rex. And he's always having parties, always partying, and he's always traveling.
Right.
And he's in the insurance business. So, and at the time, I had no opportunity. I had no college, no nothing. So I said, well, I'll go interview with the guy. And he said, what kind of training do you have in sales? I go, not really anything.
Mm-hmm. Hey, groceries sell themselves.
Yeah.
Aisle six.
I either stock shelves or I check people out.
Yeah.
And
but you're not convincing someone to buy the corn.
No, I'm not. And if you didn't like me, you waited. It wasn't computers back then.
Right.
So if they were turd balls to you,
uh-huh,
that piece of corn just weighed double.
Corn in my thumb.
You don't make fun of clerks. You can now because it's all computerized.
Right.
Back in those days, if you were mean to a clerk,
uh-huh,
or any sarcastic or whatever, you might pay for an extra can dam.
Yeah.
You might pay for an extra steak. Who knows? My finger's stuck. Come back, and we'll give you a refund if you find out where the problem was. But anyway, so I did my interview in short pants and a Grateful Dead shirt, and I actually had longer hair.
Uh-huh.
I had hair. And the guy said, well, you'll do. Just go read the book and pass the test, and you can be a pro.
All right.
But anyway, that's the people in the jury, they're very attentive. People, it's just like a TV,
mm-hmm.
but they're paying attention.
Yeah.
And they watch every move you make. They read in your lips. They look at your facial expressions. And it's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're done, you're done. The farmer's guy, the farmer's lawyer, asked me 5 questions.
Uh-huh.
Because every time I answered the question, I had him.
Yeah.
And he even said like 3 times, I didn't know that. And he said, I'm all done with this. And my lawyer, the plaintiff's lawyer, asked me a bunch more. And then all of a sudden they go, oh, you're done.
Free
you're
to
done.
Go.
So I go walk down. Then we're at called the Stanley Moss Center.
Uh-huh.
And we'll get to later. But what did you call that place?
The Judge Ito Courthouse.
The Judge Ito Courthouse. So what day did O.J. actually die? I might have been there. No, I was there on Tuesday. He died on Thursday.
Yeah, I think it was last Wednesday, and then the announcement was the day after last Thursday.
Oh, okay.
So.
Okay, yeah, something like that. But anyway.
You're the day before, so he was circling the drain.
Oh, that's good.
You know?
I hope he circled along. I don't know what was
you
a
know,
pain.
There's a lot of people that just can't wait to dance on his grave.
I piss on it.
There's a lot of people. You'd have to wait in line.
I don't know. I
mean,
do that.
It's just a fact, you know.
Yeah. So
talk about someone who fell from grace. Fell from whatever.
Fell from whatever. He fell to hell is what he did.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I was dismissed, and I was ahead of schedule, and so I walked over to visit my daughter who works at like 1 block down, half a block over,
mm-hmm.
like a Hill Street.
Uh-huh.
And I go down there, and she couldn't see me.
Wow.
Because she was in a meeting. And I go to the lady down, she's on the 4th floor of this building, and I can't just walk. You can't just go up there. They have security.
Uh-huh.
She works at this company.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, they work for this company that works with homeless people,
mm-hmm.
and she's a counselor. And she has to go downtown just twice a week.
Yes.
But she was too busy to see her dad.
Oh.
I was going to buy her lunch at Grand Central Market's about
oh,
a block away.
Yeah.
And I've been on it too many times. The little train.
The Angels Flight.
Angels Flight, yeah.
Okay.
But it's still, it sounds so much fun, Grand Central Market and Angels
Flight.
It's still a shithole.
Yeah. You just overlook it because there's like 30 places to eat, and you're like, well, one of these has to be good.
No, they're all that place, Grand Central Market's great.
Yeah.
But to walk from the parking lot to there,
yeah.
This lady was washing her feet with, I know it wasn't an original bottle of water, at the bus stop. And she got a cigarette in her mouth, and she's pretty big. She's a little sweaty.
Mm-hmm.
Her feet's on. Yeah, feet are on. She's washing her feet, and I don't go.
Oh man, I would need a bath like right there.
I walked by, just the the perfume was coming up. But anyway, downtown, so many people are down there.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm not where this part is. Isn't the tents aren't there?
No.
It's just strange ass people, even the ones that are working.
Mm-hmm.
And which I guess includes my daughter. She's down there working. But I got home. It's such a lousy ass drive. I probably could have made it here. But I went, because it's too late.
After that, you need like a hot shower being downtown.
Even
if it's hot summer day, you need a hot shower. Extra soap, extra long.
It's but that the courthouse is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, the chambers or each individual, I'm losing my mind. Every courtroom,
uh-huh.
they're small.
Right.
They're not like big on TV where you got Gregory Peck prancing around, or Matthew McConaughey. That's a throwback. But
what was his name? Brady Bunch. Well, Brady Bunch dad threw that suitcase and got the guy with a whiplash to turn around.
Well, I didn't.
That's from the Brady Bunch.
I mean, didn't see it really. Yeah. Okay.
Michael Brady. He's sitting there and he drops his suitcase, and the guy who's got the whiplash does this, you know, quick turn, and everyone's like, "Oh, it doesn't have the whiplash." You know?
Oh, that works out good. Wow, that's pretty funny. That's a great scam.
It was, and then
should have
Mr. Brady figured it out.
I wonder if other people have really done that in court. They probably have. or sneeze or make a noise.
Yeah, they probably had a director who goes, you know, I heard the story one time.
The Brady Bunch. Well, you're going back. I didn't know you're that old.
I don't know where the hell that came from.
No, Brady Bunch.
So what happens, you got no notes.
You got no notes? Anybody listening, we are just winging it right now. I was actually in my front yard. Let me back up, quit mumbling. We are watching my Brett's daughter, Kenna.
Okay.
And we are. There's not a lot of we in that thing. It's my wife and I. My wife's doing most of the work.
Right.
So we went for a walk today. She was in this stroller.
Uh-huh.
It's not the strollers your mom had.
Oh, no. They're super fancy now.
Yeah, this is nasty. So I'm walking the dog, and Pam's pushing the baby, and we're going around town. And somebody goes, that's what grandparents do. I go, it's kind of a kick. I was out walking with the baby. But I came back, and I'm building some more flower stands, or just to put my weeds, and not real weed, but milkweed.
Yeah, for the butterflies.
For the butterflies, and I left it out in the front yard, sitting there right now, all my stuff. But Pam, hopefully she's watching it.
Yeah.
Because my daughters are working in my office, in my home office, and
okay.
She couldn't really work that way with the baby, so she's over our house, which is a lot of fun. And so I gave up my watching my baby, my granddaughter, uh-huh. come over here and serve the fans. So anyway, when I walked in, I mentioned Stanley Moss there, and you went
Judge Ito Courthouse.
And it was perfect timing, because who would have thought about it that O.J.'s dead?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I don't know a lot of people thought about him. He popped up recently, you know, on video. He had, like, you know, a TikTok page or whatever, and he was giving out, like, fantasy football advice, and I'm watching, like, 10 seconds, and I go, I can't watch this. I just can't. I mean, you know, he knows football, but I'm like, I just can't watch him.
Oh, it was current?
Yeah, like, within the last year. Last year he was doing it, and he was, you know, doing, you know, talking football, you know, like he was any other guy with a website, you know, giving out picks and, you know, his insight.
He was acquitted.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so funny. Yeah,
which doesn't mean he didn't do it. That's just the way the trial worked out.
We know.
People on the jury voted, which, you know, it's a big story. And they, you know, the people just, I mean, if you look at the makeup of that jury, it was a jury of his peers, if you will. It wasn't football players, but they were definitely of the skin pigment persuasion that he shared with them.
And I don't fault one of the jurors.
No.
Because they were just used to cops and that Mark Furman.
Yeah, he didn't help things.
I think LAPD acquitted him.
Yeah.
And, you know, the cops, there was something screwy going on with that glove.
Yeah.
And everything. So, every black person on that jury probably been hassled by an LAPD cop.
And this is also recently after the Rodney King.
Yeah.
And the guys who were acquitted of that. And what that caused. And that was, there was an ESPN special that years ago that really kind of broke it down really well. It was a very well-produced documentary. It was like a 4 or 5-part series.
Yeah, I saw that, I believe.
Yeah.
I did see it.
And they were just talking about, like, right before that happened, you know, how the Rodney King thing happened. And, you know, they had people just mentioning how, you know, LAPD had just treated blacks and minorities, you know, Mexicans as well, just not very well. And, you know, the deck was stacked against them always. And, you know, they were like, you know, do the math, people.
I know. Well, I have most of my friends. I'm not most. I have a lot of friends are cops.
Yeah.
Like Kenny and people. They started. Well, right. They were probably cops during that time.
Most likely. Yeah.
But, yeah, in his defense, he helped change the system.
Yes.
Recently, who was it? George in Minnesota.
Oh.
Change the system a little bit. But that George?
Yeah.
The guy beat up.
I can't remember his last name right now, which is refreshing a little bit because we were so wrapped up in that situation that you couldn't escape his name. And now I remember the incident. I can't remember his last name.
That's good. Well, at least I hope the police do. But, you know, hope they remember what they did.
Yeah.
But it's a different world now. But I always told my wife and anybody else that would listen. If I was Ronald Goldman's dad, Fred,
uh-huh.
I thought he was kind of a whiny bitch myself. And now I know I would be worse than that if someone did that to my daughter.
Right.
But if someone did that to my daughter, I'd probably my mind, if I was still have my right mind mm-hmm. after that, I would just say, okay, let him go.
Yeah.
He's free. Let him go. Leave him alone. And then there's something else might happen to him. He might be just going a long walk.
Just might slip and fall somewhere.
He might be out and...
Or end up going over the cliff in PV.
Go to watching U2 do their album in Joshua Tree or something. He'd be in the desert.
Yeah.
But I just can't... What a whole lifestyle that was. Everybody remember what they did that day. Where were you in the chase?
I went over to a friend of mine who, when we had to go to a friend to do things we can now freely do, it just happened to be on a free moment where I needed something that my friend happened to have in his back room. And the basketball game was on. And we're like, hey, let's put on that Knicks Rockets game, you know? And I think I was going for the Knicks just because they hadn't won a world championship that I'd ever seen. I thought, you know, New Yorkers love their Knicks. I mean, the team always stinks, but, you know, they were in a championship. And then split screen, Bob Costas, and here we are, you know, with the Bronco chase. And everyone starts talking about the Bronco, and, you know, everyone's opinion starts going around. And I'm like, can we get back to the game? Because, you know, but then by 2 minutes into that, you're like, forget the game. This is the weirdest thing I've ever seen on television.
Well, you had to watch.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and then it was like, let's just flip to another channel. The game doesn't matter at this moment. This is just bizarro. And there's one guy there who's just like, I can't give any energy to this. I can't watch it. And we're all like, what's going on? Is he guilty? Is he not guilty? Is he going to shoot himself? Are the cops going to do anything? You know, we're just tripping out on this. And then it's like, it's OJ. I mean, when this was, when the thing was announced, I went to my baseball card binder. I pulled out a book, and the first page is all OJ Simpson cards. He was like the first guy on the first page. I had like two pages of OJ Simpson cards. And I'm just like, okay, he obviously was someone I knew about and
you
followed.
Respected, yeah.
And actually really liked as an athlete. I mean, I remember being a small little kid and going, hey, Mom, why is Dad and all his friends out there cheering? And I go, OJ just won the game. And I was like, oh, okay. So I kind of became a USC fan because of that. Which
really?
After hanging out with some actual USC people driving Uber, I think I go for the Bruins when it comes to the big game.
I agree with you.
You know, they got a good basketball team. I can root for that just as much.
Well, I still cheer for anybody playing USC.
Yeah.
And anyway, OJ is dead, and that's good. But I was in Lake Havasu with my entire family.
Uh-huh.
And we were in a condominium overlooking London Bridge and that little channel that goes out to the new, that was the island. It's now an island anyway over from the bridge.
Uh-huh.
And we just came in to take a break from the water. And one of the kids put on, Patrick or Kristen put on the TV, and that just popped up.
Yeah.
And
it was on every channel.
We never made it back to the water. It killed the rest of my day.
Yeah.
Because I was driving, I'd sold it by then, but I had a white, same color, I forgot the ivory white or something, Bronco.
Uh-huh.
But mine was an 84, and it was more chunky looking than the 85 or 86, whatever he had.
Yeah.
More sleek. And his was. So I'm glad I got rid of that Bronco. But I don't understand. He just pulled him over. But it created a spectacle. But we all got to watch. I don't even know if it was at commercials.
No.
But
it was just so compelling. It was the weirdest thing.
It's all for one totally messed up human being.
And in a way, that sort of helped to break down the celebrity worship to a point of celebrities can do no wrong. Because obviously, I was a kid, I thought he was amazing football player, his commercials, and just, you know, and he was a San Francisco guy. There's just a lot of kind of cool things about him until that happened. And then you start questioning, why do I care about this person other than they're great at something I obviously can't do?
Well, some of us, you know, if you lose your temper, you might go kick a garbage can.
Right.
You know, or
punch a wall.
Punch your
something
break your
just
hand
as
the
idiotic.
Wall.
But I'm not going to take it out on a person.
Don't go decapitate somebody or whatever.
Not my ex-wife. And not her boyfriend or who just happened. I think that guy was dropping off glasses. Whether there's anything going on besides that.
Well, good for him if he was getting getting a little tang on the side.
He seemed like a good-looking guy. Didn't seem that outlandish.
You know, why should she not? Anyway, he's just jealous. Anyway, it's just, why would he? Is it still mind-boggling? I have, even talking about it drives me nuts.
It is.
I saw a meme on social media and it showed Charlie Manson. And he said, don't worry, OJ, it's a dry heat.
I saw that same one, too.
And, the world's full of crazy people. Look at the bomb in the Middle East again.
That happened.
My daughter asked me the other day, are we going to have a world war, Dad? I go, oh, you've been talking to your husband and his friends again.
Mm-hmm.
I said, no.
Yeah.
Well, we have a world war right now.
Yeah, there's stuff
going on. Shipping arms to Ukraine and Russia's bombing them, so... There's no secret.
And you know, I mean, the Middle East, they've been fighting since day one.
They hate each other.
They do.
Before day one.
It was preordained they were going to fight.
And now I see these people. I want to say Israel. Boy, if you even comment anywhere left or right out of the main point for Israel, you get crucified.
Yeah, you're just labeled as a...
anti-Semitic, so
can't have an opinion.
They might be overdoing it, I think. But you have to bomb the whole place. But then the world's not going to side with the Hamas anyway.
No.
But I'm not involved in that. Why would they take out that place in Syria where the generals were killed?
Yeah.
Iranian such as that's just kicking the dog when the dog's in a bad mood.
Yeah, and that's, you know, again, that's the revenge served cold. I mean, it's supposedly payback from things that happened in the not-too-distant past.
Yeah, my daughter acts like, well, we have a little baby now. I go, there was World War II and there were little babies. I don't think the world's going to come to an end next week. Not quickly.
Yeah.
You know, we'll run into the ground before anything else.
We're going to destroy it, before, you know.
Yeah, I hope the weird part is after I'm long gone.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, that's my only kind of solace. Going, okay, I got 30 more years tops ish.
Yeah,
that'd be a good run from this. I mean, that put me in the late 80s. You know.
There's a gentleman that goes to the gym. We see him almost every day at 6:30 in the morning, and he died last Thursday in his sleep.
No.
92 years old. He's in great shape.
Yeah.
For a 92-year-old guy. And. Mm-hmm. Very talkative. We saw him every day, and almost every day. And Pam told me about it. I went, oh, okay, that's sad.
Yeah.
Next, and she goes, what do you mean next? I went, he's 92 years old. I'm not gonna. I have no doubt in my mind. I'm not gonna make 92. That'd be a freak. But there's little kids out there dying. Got run over by a car yesterday. I'm more sad for that.
Well, the kids are getting bombed.
Yeah,
you know, by the
kids are getting bombed or
situation
something.
Over there.
But my wife, being the kind soul that she is, she was so upset.
Yeah.
She knew the guy, too. I said, well, 92 is a good long
it's
distance.
It's good run. And I've, you know, taken some solace in that when I hear, you know, people that make that. And I'm like, sad that they're gone. But, you know, I'll take 92.
I don't know if I can afford to live in 92.
That's the problem. I'm like, you know, I'll be working on 91 and a half.
Yeah, that's right. By the way, it was Stephen Belkowski's birthday yesterday.
Okay.
And he's 30.
30.
Yeah, and he's
no
our,
half yet.
Our pot smoking, our pot dealing guy.
So by the end of summer, he'll be 31 and a half.
Yeah,
or
so
30
I,
and a half.
I sent him a Facebook, happy birthday. I said, at 30, it's usually customary to stop saying 30 and a half.
Yeah.
So. You're not like a teenager anymore, or waiting for your driver's license. But he's a good guy. Speaking of that, I forgot to bring you a present.
Ah, that's all right.
We go to the. I'm just jumping over the world here.
That's fine.
We go to Trader Joe's the other day. So I'll go with you, Pam. We walk in. She buys some brownie mix.
Uh huh.
And the cashier said, "Oh, ma'am, I remember you. This is the same brownies you bought last time."
Uh huh.
And he goes, "Were you kidding?" She goes, no. I go, what are you talking about? She, your wife makes loaded brownies?
Uh-huh.
This guy had to be like 20. I said, well, whenever the date came about 5 years, 4 or 5 years ago, and it was legalized on New Year's Day, I said, she dropped all pretense of caring. She's very law and order.
Yeah.
You know,
great.
Rules are rules. So now she's not breaking the rules. And, really good.
Edibles are all around safer. They're just more interesting to regulate if you've had experience with flowers. You kind of know what works for you, and with edibles, you kind of got to experiment. I would say start slow, start small, and enjoy the ride.
Yeah, well, we went yesterday. She goes, do you want to go to the Green Cross or an L.A. Strip there by the, you know, just outside Torrance?
Yeah, Carson Street on Western.
Yeah, so we go there.
I used to live two blocks over.
That's right, you told me that.
I was like, why did this not happen then?
We walk in. It's too bad the local politicians don't actually look at that.
I know.
Because when you walk in, you think you're going to run into like a head shop from 1972 at the Sunset Strip.
Right. I think Chong's going to be in the background.
Yeah, and it's going to smell. Actually, it's a pleasant smell, but people are great.
Mm-hmm.
The only people that look kind of freaky are the people that work there.
Yeah.
But all the customers and patrons, and it wasn't overrun, but it was nice.
You think you're at a grocery store. I mean, they buy groceries either before or after that trip.
It looks like we're at a church in Manhattan Beach or something. It looked like people that wouldn't have been on the OJ jury.
No. And then I think of myself walking in, and people look, he makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, the long hair, you know, and all that.
Well, I remember the first time I went to one, I wore a Grateful Dead t-shirt so I might fit in.
Yeah.
The guy laughed. He kind of like, whatever.
you don't have to play it to, we're all good here.
And I had a beard and I had a Grateful Dead shirt and stuff. So, but, you know, when you go in, they make you take your hat off.
Yeah.
So I wasn't wearing a hat anyway.
Uh-huh.
So, but you know, my wife wanted to go. I said, I'll drive you over there. And she put like $200 on her ATM card.
All right.
Yeah, they don't take credit cards. They take ATM. So.
Yeah.
But it was a trip. So next time, they're not all gone, I'll bring you a brownie or two.
Cool.
And so I go, you know, she hasn't had a drink since October.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Well, because of her
she can't.
AFib.
Yeah.
And, you know, other people with AFib, but the doctor just said, well, you probably just go for a while and try it.
Yeah.
And she got used to not doing it. So
kind of once you get through a certain point, it really becomes easier. You're like, you know what? I kind of feel better. I don't miss that so much.
Yeah, I'm back in a little non-bender here for a week. I said, I'm going to take a week or two off and just make sure I can. It was actually fine.
Yeah, I'm kind of in that process, you know, because, you know, I'm just like, I just feel like I need to take a break, you know, a little longer than, you know, a couple days.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe like a couple of weeks, month, whatever.
Well, if you make it a week, it means you're okay.
Absolutely.
But it's just kind of funny because I told Pam, you know what? We could go out and buy a Ferrari if we neither of us drank.
Uh-huh.
Then we go to the pot store. Never mind. Take that back. So.
Yeah. However, I think if cannabis is less expensive overall than booze. I mean, you can go to the Green Cross and even... Ooh. Now, if you added up how much you maybe would spend and, like, you know, going out a couple nights, seeing the band, buying a few people a few drinks, it'd probably end up being more on just drinks at bars and restaurants than what you know, like $200 seems like, wow, that's a heck of a lot. But it's going to last you because, you know, it's not like you're going at it every day or, you know, but, man, you can go out and it can be a $100, $200 tab real quick.
Oh, it definitely is.
I mean,
oh well.
And it doesn't last very long. You can't have more tomorrow. You can't save. You know, it's one night out, and it's just gone. You know,
it does. It does add up. It gets expensive if you go out, especially like following the band. The last couple of times I went, like the other night at St. Rock when they played.
Yeah.
I had games and drink tickets, so I actually gave somebody else. So I'm just drinking club soda.
Mm-hmm.
So. I said, I'll get these two beers for this guy.
Yeah.
So Pam and I go to the bar, and it's pretty crowded.
Yeah.
And we gave him the two drink tickets, and we wanted two glasses of club soda.
Right.
For Pam and I. And he said, free, everything got comped. And I probably kind of cool. I threw him $5.
Uh-huh.
He pushed it back. He goes, nah, you're okay. Don't worry about it. I didn't do anything for you.
Wow.
That was really cool. So...
Yeah, it'd be great if that attitude permeated over to the local Starbucks. Yeah?
Whoa.
Well, Starbucks makes some drinks for you. I'm just like, the tipping thing is kind of a whole new tipping point in society, you know, because everything's on, like, you know, you got a waiter coming up, and I'll go, aren't you going to take that into the register? You're, like, putting it into your phone. Am I really paying a tab here, or are you just ripping me
off? Well, they have a new phone system now.
They do. And I'm like, it just blows me away. And then there was someone, I think her name is Elizabeth, that hangs out at some of the kitty shows. She's from Europe. And she was telling me one time at one of the R10 gigs, she was like, it just blows me away. Here in America, you actually hand your credit card to someone and they walk somewhere else with it. You know, she's
Tall guy from Sweden.
Yeah. You know, she was, and I go, you know, I never thought of that, but that is pretty bizarre. Oh, here, take my debit card and ring me up. You know, it could go anywhere. And sometimes some places it does, you know, everyone, you know, comes back and they're like, there's an extra charge on that bill.
Yeah, I got a call from Amex the other day. I had two other charges. And $199.50. And for the same company, two charges. And I said, I have no idea who they are. I haven't tried to contact them. So somebody got my number.
Yeah.
Said my card reissued.
Who's your phone carrier? I have AT&T, and I'm getting a lot of weird stuff because there was a big data breach. You know, but there's data breaches like all the time. They could hack into our bank, any whatever you are connected to.
Yeah.
You know, we'll find out, oh, there's a data breach 6 months ago. And you're like, oh, beautiful. Everything about me is on the dark web being sold to you know, dudes in Belarus.
We have no privacy.
No.
The second you got that phone in your hand, you lost your privacy.
Yep.
And I don't think that having the desktop was a big deal.
No.
But we carry our phone around.
Yeah.
And you set it down. Watch a golf tournament, watch any sporting event or any concert, everybody's on their phone.
Yeah, I know.
At the Masters last week, if you watch it, I apologize. I don't want to turn it off, but I'm in a group text. That little beep, beep, beep is my text. I'm going to, there you go.
I got a few of those. Half the texts in your group text are ha-ha or liking something someone else posted.
Well, everybody knows I hate group texts. And my daughters, I'm the only group text I accept, really, are my kids.
Yeah.
And Pam and their husbands. There's six of us. Boom, boom, boom. So,
and that's helpful if you're making family plans, Sunday dinner.
Yeah, it's usually look at somebody walked, so the next one's got to post the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it was easier before phones.
It really was.
But, yeah, we have no privacy. But I like when they come over to your table and give them your card there. But that's killing me. we have no notes. I might even read it a little while.
Now I need like my fantasy baseball guys to text in. It'll be like that. Like one guy will text and we'll be here from someone for like 3 days, and there'll be a bunch of you know stuff. And then I'm in my band text, which you know can be the same thing. It'll be like quiet, and then I'll be all booming and stuff. I have the car horn text. You have the old like chitty chitty bang bang.
Yeah.
Car. I have just the ooga.
Oh, see, I know I don't have that. Yeah, I have it for most everybody. But my wife's got a different one. But I have, that's why I don't like text. My mind just scattered around there.
Yeah.
Where were we? Go ahead.
We
got to start over.
Yeah. Hey, how's it going?
Yeah,
top secret location.
I have no idea what we're talking about. And I haven't had a drink in a long time. So maybe that got to me.
Maybe so. We were talking about, I think, how I think cannabis is cheaper than alcohol in the long run.
I've done that. You know, I'm sober. Sometimes I want to get in an accident. So I go, nope, F you.
Yeah, pull me over. I haven't been drinking.
Yeah.
I've been drinking tonight. Nope, not for a couple of weeks. You know, I'm doing great.
Someone stole my gag. We'll go change subject again. I saw somebody sent me a email, or I don't remember, or social media, said a cop was outside of a restaurant, and it's a fake story. waiting to pick up, he's going to get his quota on drunk drivers. So he just sat there in his car waiting for people to pull out.
Yeah.
And come closing time, some guy comes out bouncing off the walls, tripping over a trash can.
Yeah.
Getting in his car, driving away over a curb.
Ugh.
And the cop pulls him over.
Yeah, of course.
And he's sober as a judge.
Oh, boy.
And he goes, I'm going to bust you for drunk driving. He goes, I am the DD. He goes, well, there's nobody in the car with you. In the car with you. And the guy goes, well, I'm the designated decoy. So, and I know it was a joke.
Yeah.
But I'm honest to God, it was, had to be 1980.
Yeah.
We had a bar called C.J. Brett's. George Brett was half owner.
No.
Even the pine tar bat was in there.
That's awesome. That's one of my favorite. That and like the Nolan Ryan punching Robin Ventura are two of my favorite.
Don't charge the man
and
Nolan Ryan.
And when Campy Campaneris threw the bat at the Tigers pitcher, Laron LeGros, back in the early 70s. That's like
you
three of my favorite.
Than I do. Wow.
I got a Reggie Jackson memory, too, but I'll just stop there.
Okay. Oh, that's right. The hip out. The hip. Yeah, or the three home runs or whatever it was.
Yeah, or this one pitcher, he hit a home run, he gets to home plate, and then he runs out and starts a fight with the pitcher. Oh, bench is clear, and then there's like two Yankees carrying Reggie to the dugout, and he's clapping, and he's being carried by like two bigger Yankees than him back to the dugout, and he's just all happy.
Well, they're not on the Rams, the Dodgers-Padre game.
Yeah.
There was a little altercation.
Yeah.
And it was all for nothing. We laughed. I was watching the game with Pam.
Uh-huh.
And Manny Machado of the Padres comes running out. And with that look on his face he gets, you want to slap him.
Mm-hmm.
And then nothing happened. But he led the charge out. And they did a replay. And he took the time to get a handful of sunflower seeds and throw in his mouth before he ran out there. But I got to keep up. I got to stay with my teammates.
Oh, man.
It's just, see, we just deviated so far away from that. The story, what I was doing at C.J. Brett's.
Yes.
And my club, they're called the Active 2030 Club, right there. And it was in Hermosa, but on PCH. And now it's now a Skechers building being built.
Right.
And
as half of PCH is.
It's right across, right across from the bar restaurant that I had my wedding reception in with Pam.
Hmm.
It's called Cassidy's, but we used to call it Catch a Disease. and Cassidy's is in Manhattan Beach, but right across the street's Hermosa. That's all where everything's figured out.
That is funny.
Anyway, I pulled out, and I had to go home for something. I couldn't stay for the whole meeting. And this is evening meetings, and usually we have cocktails.
Yeah.
And so I look, and some caught my eye is a cop across the street in the bank.
Mm-hmm.
And just looking right, he wasn't even trying to hide. He was right there watching everything.
Yeah.
So I backed up my car, and I kind of squiggled over the lines, and I kind of backed up really hard, and I was jerking the car around. And I drove, when I left, I pulled on the PCH like half over the curb.
Uh-huh.
And which was a dead giveaway that I was drunk.
Yeah.
So going down PCH, and I got pulled over by the cop.
Hmm.
And he goes, you know, step out of the car. You've been drinking? I said, not a drop. He goes, this thing's crazy. I said, no, I haven't been drinking.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't think of the phrase designated
the
decoy.
Double D, yeah.
But anyway, he was kind of pissed off. He goes, what were you doing? I said, I saw you sitting there. I was having fun with you.
Uh-huh.
I really was just having fun with the guy, and he was very upset.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't blame you because half the bar just left behind me, and they're drunk.
Right.
But, yeah, I just love to mess with people. So I'm going to read you this stuff here.
Okay.
No, I'm not going to read it all. Oh, it's political.
Mm.
Oh, Redondo Council's voting.
Oh, the fire.
The fire department thing. So now these guys are, oh, my. I'm not even going to say what they're, I'm not getting involved. I can't get involved. They don't care what I think.
Uh-huh.
But like eight guys are on a group text, and they're ragging on the city council and the mayor and stuff. So
sure,
I don't know. But how do I turn this thing off?
Go to your top left hand.
I got it's in the red. Let's see if it keeps
little
going.
Switcher and a little
okay,
little
I thought
red
I did. Any rate, I would want to read some of these things, but I get in trouble.
It's like when Jimmy Kimmel does like mean tweets. As these celebrities read mean tweets about themselves, you know, it's
oh, I've seen those before. Yeah,
pretty funny. Some of them, you know,
they are. Most of them, and most of these celebrities kind of just they're used to it.
Yeah.
Well, when I was mayor, we did all these social media things, and you know, we felt at a certain lawsuit that I was involved with.
Uh-huh.
All these emails had to come out.
Yeah.
Freedom of information, and the current mayor that was appointed.
Right.
Jim Light, he has all his emails about me, not to me, but saying how he was in charge of making all these graphic memes and things of Steve with a Pinocchio nose.
Right.
And totally bad stuff. But you see, they were emailing back and forth with elected officials.
Ah.
And once it goes in the email, it's open season.
Yeah, you can hit delete, but the company server can undelete it.
Well, when you get a request for your your emails, and what you're supposed to do, they give you the opportunity to go to your own computer, print out the emails or forward them on, and there's the emails you're looking for.
Yeah.
You know, they don't want every email. They want the email I sent to you.
Right.
And you got to specifically request email between Steve and Jim, Steve and Paul. And anyway, I got all his emails. They weren't because of me, but this one court case, they turned up, so I had people sending them to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I should send those emails on to the city hall tonight, because the current mayor has bad emails.
Yeah.
And the recently deceased mayor, he had bad emails, too.
Uh-huh.
And I had the common sense not to use emails when I wanted to say bad things about somebody.
You know, there's a lot of history data that, you know, shows us that. Don't talk on the phone. I mean, I just watched The Sopranos and The Godfather and Goodfellas.
Goodfellas.
You know, he's out there with an umbrella running over in the rain to tell the guy, and he's like, you know, they're having a conversation.
I told her not to talk on the phone about going to Pittsburgh.
Right.
Yeah, Ray Liotta.
Exactly.
But, anyway, you got politics going on one hand and that fun stuff. See, it's hard. Got grandkids on one place.
Yeah.
Politics in the other. The other guy, and he wants to be on the show here. I'm going to bring him on. I won't use his name yet. But
okay.
He's running against Maxine Waters for Congress.
Okay.
And he came in second. These are the runoffs now. So he came in second in the prelims.
All right.
And he has a fairly good chance to defeat her.
Okay.
And anyway, and he says, today I'm talking to him on the phone. He goes, well, I'm a black, Filipino, Hispanic guy. That's in my... And I said, well, you're not shocking anybody. That's what you look like.
Yeah.
And looks like kind of like Tiger Woods, which is a compliment. But
it worked for Tiger.
It worked for...
He certainly was a popular man with the ladies. Probably has nothing to do with his millions.
Yeah, nothing to do with billions now.
Right.
But, so we're gonna. I'll have him on the show. I gotta help him try and defeat this lazy lady.
Cool.
Yeah, because he's running in basically Inglewood in L.A. Nothing in the South Bay.
Uh huh.
But I always say when you try and get out, they won't leave you alone. They won't leave you. They want you back in.
It's another Godfather quote.
Yeah, another. It was,
it's also in Sopranos.
Godfather. Yeah, it was trying to get out, trying to get back in.
They pull you back in.
You pull you back. I try to watch the Sopranos. The start over.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks ago.
Season 1 and 2 were a little slow, and then after that it really picked up, what I remember. But I'm like about to do that as well.
I was just bored. I was up in the middle of the night, so I turned it on and went, okay, the first episode was kind of a snoozer.
Yeah.
And but I love looking. I go to my MapQuest where they live. You know, they don't live in New York City, so... They name a town, so I'll go look for it. In New Jersey. It's always in New Jersey.
Yeah.
And it's kind of cool. But I always thought Goodfellas was the benchmark.
I think that's... even when it comes to movies, that's that's like in my top three. I mean, I sentimentally think The Blues Brothers is my favorite because I just... I was like 15 when I came out, and it was just the greatest movie. And it turned me on to all those blues musicians. I mean... I'd heard of James Brown or Ray Charles.
Yeah.
All those other guys were, you know, homework for me to get into, you know, and I enjoyed that movie so much. I, you know, and like Jack Maher, you know, when he was in here doing the show with Jed, when they had that going on, there were certain times he would just say a line out of the movie and I would return, you know, the following line.
He knows all these lines. There, so
and he and I had a couple good times with that. You know, just say a line of the next guy would repeat the next line, and
What? I've never seen the movie. I hate to admit, I've seen bits and pieces.
Okay,
and I don't know why. I just didn't. Every time I turned it on, there was some car chase or police chase. I don't know what. I don't even know what to talk.
Yeah, second half of the movie is a big police chase back to Chicago.
Okay, I have no idea, but I mean, my all-time favorite movie is it's a
Mad World.
And then it turns out I've been watching movies. They all end up being Kevin Costner.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know why, but mm-hmm. that's a good movie. Oh, it's Kevin Costner.
Mm-hmm.
I watched Draft Day again the other day.
Okay.
You know, that's a great movie. Didn't make it anywhere, but I love it.
I do, too. And Dennis Leary is great as the coach.
Great. And I have a soft spot for...
Garner?
Jennifer Garner.
Yeah, Garner.
But
me too. I think Ben Affleck didn't do her right. She was really in love with him, and it just didn't work out for her.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. God, now we just turned into The View.
This is unscripted, folks.
There's no way
we could script this.
No, but I just, she's pretty sweet. But my wife goes, you don't like blondes. Why'd you marry me? I go, you're the only blonde I've ever been with, which is true.
Uh-huh.
You're special. But any time she points out somebody, because you like her, oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I like that. But they're never blondes.
Yeah.
And if I see a fake blonde, I really get pissed off. But it's...
I kind of like brunettes, too.
Yeah, brunettes are great.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you only got... I've only been with one blonde, can't fault me for that.
Yeah.
So it's... But The Sopranos is... I don't know. Goodfellas, I love that.
Yes.
I got to meet Ray Liotta in New York.
That's cool.
And had a glass of wine with him.
Wow.
No, I had a Chopin vodka. He had a glass of wine. And my phone was in my room. Speaking of that movie, we were at the Essex House where everybody stayed for Saturday Night Live.
Okay.
Right across from Central Park.
Uh-huh.
And this guy, Pam and I, the only two people in the bar. It's like 4 o'clock.
Wow.
And we needed a break. So we come back, and the bartender goes, that gentleman in the corner, he might be a movie star or something. And,
uh-huh.
And I said, I'm not going to talk to him. No way.
Yeah.
I was embarrassed. I saw who he was. And he walked by to go to the head. And on the way back, Pam jumped out and was, my husband loves you. He won't say hi. Well, thank you very much. He sat there, you know.
Right on.
He was really a good guy, really nice.
Yeah.
But
I think they like to hear that. It's just sometimes it's the timing. When they're about to put a big bite of food in their mouth is not the time. But I love your movies. Can we get a picture? You know, it's not going to work out.
Well,
as it should.
I was a low-level somebody wanted a picture with us as mayor.
Uh-huh.
Because people know what mayors are. They could care less what city councilmen are or council members.
Yeah.
So you tell a 6-year-old kid you're a mayor, they go crazy. They love it.
Mm-hmm.
Most people know what a mayor is, and I don't know why, but I kind of get refused pictures. There's one guy, one cameraman, photographer that always come around HT or come around places.
Yeah.
And I didn't leave the bubble too much. And I said, can you not get a picture of me with a cigar and a drink?
Right.
Just how about a picture of me just hanging with my wife?
Yeah.
It's not as much fun. But yeah, you'd be sitting there having a, not so much for pictures, but you're having a meal.
Uh-huh.
And someone want to come up and talk. How come they're not taking the tree out of my street? How come they didn't buy potholes?
Right.
But yeah, you usually have to leave town to have privacy. But a guy like Ray Liotta or a movie star can't leave town.
No.
They can't go anywhere. But they
got to go to, like, foreign countries like Indonesia or something.
Yeah.
And even then.
They know. They sign up for it.
Yeah.
But speaking of celebrities leaving town, I took Jed to the airport this morning.
Oh, yeah? Where's he off to?
He went to Tucson to visit his dad.
Okay.
Dad's birthday, I guess. He's 89 or something. And then he flew to, he's probably going to Vegas. He's going to Vegas this afternoon. He's only going to be in Tucson a couple hours. And he's staying with Gary, the guy that gets a suite at the Encore.
Oh, that's cool.
He's going there for 5 days or 4 days till Saturday night.
I expect to see a lot of hot tub photos.
No, this is... No, I'm not going to be there. See, it's a beautiful place.
Yeah.
And the room's fully stocked.
Yeah.
So I guarantee if I went there with him, I'd fall off that wagon just for the fun of it.
Oh, of course.
But it's amazing, amazing place. But the video they produced up there.
Yeah.
They actually, I think Pam helped put some taste into it.
Uh-huh.
Because they put the one girl on the pool table.
Yeah, I noticed that didn't make the final cut.
Didn't make the cut.
Which is probably a good thing.
And I told him, I said, Pam made a few comments about it. It's way out of your league. You don't want to do that because you piss off people.
Yeah.
And, you know, the escort sitting next to him in the hot tub. they were fully clothed. Not fully, but they were clothed.
Yes.
You couldn't see any privates. But the goal for someone like that, they want to be recognized.
Yeah.
And they would love, whether you're a local celebrity or you're the king of the world, you stand there and you pose.
Yeah.
And when I was mayor, I hated posing. So most of my pictures, it looks like I'm angry. I go, hurry the F up. I would, even when my kids take a picture, I'm I'm not going to pose for 25 seconds, but you take 85 pictures on your iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so the one they always get a kick out of was I look like Charlie Manson stabbing somebody. So, but it's a, yeah, celebrities have to deal with this. I mean, we were in Utah, 2 years ago? Yeah, 2 years ago, we're having dinner at this restaurant, big fancy restaurant in the hotel.
So a police drummer?
Yeah, the police drummer.
Stuart Copeland.
Yeah, I didn't even know who he was. They walked by, but the band wouldn't go out of their chair.
Yeah.
The seat, and Pam had to go introduce him.
Right.
And but yeah, Stuart Copeland walked by, and he goes, well, I am eating dinner right now, so he wouldn't walk over to where we were, so Pam came and got the three guys.
Okay.
And took them over.
Oh,
and
that's cool.
He was basically very gracious. I never met him.
Mm-hmm.
But it's amazing. I'm getting these texts. Someone said, you mentioned us. That's so funny. But
all right, we got a listener.
We got a listener. I know we got. Yeah, people keep telling me later on they heard it.
Uh-huh.
But you got to make sure it works later on. Sometimes it doesn't hook up, does it?
I upload them every now and then. You know, sometimes like at the end of the day, sometimes I do make a mistake. Like today is the.
No.
Yeah, I'm not infallible. Today's the 16th. I might be thinking because maybe I've done the news for tomorrow, or got that ready, and I might have that date in my head, tomorrow's date. And I might accidentally, and you know, there's other hosts I'll record during the day that maybe it's next week's show. So I got to go, okay, it's next, you know, whatever their day they run on. And, you know, so occasionally I might miss a date, and that's oftentimes what happens. Or there might be an extra number in there instead of, you know, 24, there might be 224 or something.
Uh-huh.
It's usually just a typo, and a computer is very unforgiving on a typo. You know, I mean, you go to send an email and you leave out a character and it doesn't go through. So
well, not in my well, it could be in my lifetime, but someday you'll just have to think it.
That's not far away.
I know, and there, yeah, like I said, your phones. There are probably more listeners on the phone than there are on the computer. I know people. Some
NSA and
yeah, they're all
Snowden's crew. Those guys.
Yeah, well, I watched 60 Minutes the other day. From Sunday, but I watched it yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And about this spider crew, a couple of spiders something.
Hmm.
They're a web, the dark web.
Oh, the dark web.
And they kind of merged with the Russians.
Mm-hmm.
And they shut down all the hotels, the casinos in Vegas a few months ago.
Oh, yeah.
Bellagio and Caesars.
Uh-huh.
And it cost them $100 million.
Wow.
Well, it cost these other places. See, I guess Caesars got the same threat,
uh-huh,
and they paid the $15 million,
yeah,
so they didn't lose $100
million. Yeah.
But these guys, they're from 13 years old up to 25.
Yeah.
So they're just...
They're prodigies.
They're
and hacking.
Well, they're the LeBron James of hacking.
Exactly.
So somebody's got to be a prodigy, but they're young people,
mm-hmm,
and collecting all kinds of cash. And the Russians, according to 60 Minutes, were... They can crash our systems because it's not illegal in Russia.
Right.
As long as they made a deal with them, as long as you don't mess with Russia,
uh-huh,
we're not going to bust you, send you to the United States or whatever. But they, I'm so, our kids are going to say, back in the day when they had an iPhone.
Yeah, I know. They'll be, who knows what'll be, yeah, the new thing 20 years.
And I was watching a movie, part of a movie the other day when they had it was a clip on YouTube or something. Where it was about when the IBM first came out.
Yeah.
Oh, what's that movie? Oh, Kevin Costner movie.
Oh.
That's why I said it was like 6 degrees of separation.
Right.
They were launching the John Glenn into outer space.
Oh, okay.
The
right stuff?
No. It was about...
That's different, yeah.
About the math wizards.
Oh, yeah.
With the black ladies.
Right.
And it was... If you're bored, I can't remember the movie. Incredibly good movie,
mm-hmm,
and because of discrimination and stuff like that. So, see, he it's a great movie. Kevin Costner, but how smart people were, and they brought this big IBM computer into this NASA Space Center,
yeah,
and told some people they'll be out of work. Well, these mathematicians could still process it faster than the computer,
uh-huh,
but the computer took up like a block,
right.
And now there's more information in your phone.
I know, it's so crazy.
But what is that movie? We don't have time to look it up, but it's with Kevin Costner, and it's about how everybody in the Gemini space thing, we're all younger to middle-aged white guys wearing short-sleeved shirts and a black tie.
Yes.
And there were like three or four African-American ladies that were the geniuses, and they wouldn't let him into meetings.
Right.
And they wouldn't let him do anything. They actually solved the problem using a big blackboard.
Right.
And no, but it's a great movie. I'm not trying to, you know, start something here about the prejudice or whatever,
mm-hmm.
but it was a great. But Kevin Costner.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I got a thing for Kevin Costner.
He does. He accepts good roles. I mean, yeah. he probably rejects a lot of crummy movies that, you know, guys like Jake Gyllenhaal go, hey, I'll take that. And he's just kind of on the butt end of a lot of jokes because of the Roadhouse, which, you know, some people are going, hey, it was really entertaining.
I watched it.
Yeah. You know, so.
I thought it was fun.
Yeah, a lot of people have. At first, people are like, why do we need this? And then it turns out people are going, yeah, we did need this. It turned out okay.
It makes it sound like I watch a lot of TV. The only show I record is Diners, Drives, and Dives.
Yep.
But just the other night, a couple of times, I couldn't sleep. So I get up and start watching these little pieces or the whole movie. But Jake Gyllenhaal?
Yeah.
He's buffed.
Yep.
In that movie. But I thought it was a great movie. Not great. It was fun. It killed an hour and a half. It's as dumb as it gets. But
sometimes that's exactly what you need.
I know. So is Mad World. So
Blues Brothers isn't exactly highbrow entertainment either.
I don't. Geez, we have a whole thing just on bad movies and bad songs or whatever.
Yeah.
But anyway, I know I'll get that FOMO this weekend. The band's not working.
Yeah. Well, if Jed's kind of out on the road, taking a little hiatus.
Well, Jack's in Memphis at a ukulele festival with his wife. The Vox, and
Matthew's probably got some stuff.
Matthew's
going.
Playing, and
I thought I saw him. You know,
he's playing. He's playing
somewhere.
On 4 days. Not playing Friday. One night I wanted to go out, make sure.
Uh huh.
No. He's playing. I'm going. I'm not going to go see anybody else. So
right.
And but we might. Oh, at noon on Saturday at the Lighthouse.
That's it. I think.
Yeah, Matthew's playing by himself. For 2 hours. And which is, it's my sister's coming to town. We're having lunch in Westchester.
Uh huh.
With my brother who's down from Bishop. They're in Santa Monica. They didn't want to drive all the way to Redondo.
Yeah.
And I'm not driving to Santa Monica. So he said, find a place between halfway.
Westchester it is.
Yeah, Westchester it is. We grew up there.
I'd be happy with that In-N-Out right about now.
Yeah, I wish. Well, that sounds good.
Yeah. But you'll be online from now till Sunday.
Yeah, I'm not doing it. I haven't been In-N-Out. Been twice in my life.
It's not in and out. I mean, it's in.
It's in. It's like, I wish my sex life was that long. It's in. Come out later. An hour and a half. No way.
Yeah. If you could do it as long as you're in line for a in and out meal. That's substantial performance.
Wow, that'd be fun.
Really think about it.
We'd have to squint so much or hold my breath. My sister Sue's coming up from Escondido or she lives in Temecula basically now, but. She can have lunch with us, but she could come up Friday night to go see Feed the Kitty.
Oh.
At a caller and say, they're not playing. And then nobody I know is playing.
Yeah.
So, you know me, I can't even come out and see your band half the time. We're kind of stuck. And Pam's going, I'm not going to go anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to stay home. They go, oh, that's cool. But the restaurant we're going to is called Truxton's.
Mm.
It's on a street called Truxton.
Uh-huh.
And when I was a kid, teenager, I worked at a Safeway that backed up to Truxton.
Okay.
And it's a Pet Boys now, I think. But it was on the corner of Manchester and Truxton.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just in the middle of Westchester.
Yeah.
So I saw that on the internet. I said, let's just go there. It's like it couldn't be more than a quarter mile from the house I grew up in.
Wow.
And it was a different restaurant back then. So we're all meeting there. And I'd check it out. They take kids.
Cool.
Little babies. And it'll be like 12 of us. But it's a throwback because there's a bar, a liquor store right next to Truxton's,
uh-huh.
which is called A&A Liquor. And I know the guy paid me a couple of times to not throw things out, but to send out banners, advertisement, and flyers go house to house.
Uh-huh.
And I did that quite a few times. But A&A Liquors was their claim to fame was they had teenagers delivering booze.
Okay. This sounds like the liquor store I worked up in Milpitas. which led me to, like, I got to quit this job because I got other things to do in my life.
You delivered?
No, but we ran the store.
Okay.
And, you know, I mean, it was pretty funny when, like, our, you know, high school classmates would come in and they just put up a 12er of Bud or whatever, and you're like, I can't sell to you. I know I'm older than you, and I'm not old enough to buy it.
That's true.
Well, they delivered to us at a friend's house or in the basement where I lived in the house.
Uh-huh.
They got to know us. We were closer. I'd have been 20.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Like, back then, that wasn't such a big thing, but now, you know,
they'll throw it all away, yeah. But we weren't buying tequila and Jack Daniels. We couldn't afford it.
Right.
I remember my drink of choice back then was Miller Malt Liquor.
Yeah.
Because it got you there faster.
Schlitz Malt Liquor Bowl.
Yeah, but it's Miller Malt. It was a red can.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I didn't care which either one it was.
Right, right.
It could have been Colt 45.
Mickey's, Big Mouth's.
Was it
the little green bottles?
Yeah, I know, but was it a, what do they call them? There's beer?
It's a malt liquor.
Malt liquor, okay.
Yeah, and that one's, you know.
But they don't have that same ruling anymore. Beer had to be 3.2 to be a beer.
Yeah.
So, speaking of beer, I'm not going to home have a beer anyway. It was 2 o'clock.
It is.
You probably should go.
Actually, 2:01, yeah.
2:01. Okay, everybody, I hope we didn't confuse you too much. Have a great day.
Absolutely. See you next time.
But in the end, there's just no place like home. Redondo Beach.